I'm getting around a lot better this time than the last time. I just did that on purpose. Okay. Brothers and sisters, we have a great God. And our God loves us. And he told me that he wants to see us love him. Not the way we want to love him, the way he wants us to love him. And we have that instruction, we have that direction in the Word of God. It's in here. It's all in here. There's nothing missing. It's just like ragu spaghetti sauce. It's in there. It's in here. There is no thing that is left out that God requires of us. We have a misconception of God's ways. And we have been listening to lies. Not that you've been learning them here, but there is another one who speaks into our listening ears, into our brains. And that's Satan. And his job is to not have you do what God created you to do. That's his job. That's what he does. He's the antagonist to holiness. And I tell you this with a heavy heart, because of what God has put in my heart for the saved, the born again, who are not in God's will. Their love for him is the way they want to love him. Their love for him is what they want to do for him. But he created each and every person already with a pre-designated plan for that person here on earth, for the body of Christ. It's predetermined by God what each of us is to do for God. The Bible says it this way: we were created by God for God. He did not create us to be business people first and then godly people second. He created us to be godly people first and business people second. And we got it backwards. So what we end up doing is fitting God into our life, into our business life. But what God wants is for us to fit business into his life, the way he wants it, the way he designed it, the way he purposed it for each one of us. So because I have that overwhelming desire to see every Christian believer get everything in heaven that God has for them, because God has set things up on a reward system in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? God rewards his children in the judgment. And he opens the books. And according to the way we lived our life, we receive a reward or not. We still get heaven, but we don't get what he wanted us to get. You follow what I'm saying? He gave me a word. I don't say this lightly. This is definitely with a heavy heart. And I don't normally get words for churches. But I got to tell you, I mean, I get a message to deliver, but this is a word from God for you specifically. And he showed me something before he gave me the word, so I need to share this with you first. this morning early, the Lord my God showed me something. He showed me a potter. And the potter needed to make a vessel, a certain vessel, a specific vessel. But he didn't have all the clay he needed. He only had half of the clay that he needed to make that vessel. And the potter said, I need the whole lump to make this vessel. But I only have half. And then the Lord gave me a word. And I'll read just what he said. Because when I wake up and the Lord's speaking to me, I pick up my phone. See, I speak English into my phone and my phone records it. Okay? I don't mean as a record, I mean as print. Okay? I don't type. Y'all type. I don't type. I talk into my phone and my phone types for me. Then he, the Lord my God, said to me, in the church you go to in Singapore, there are people there who have only given a portion of themselves to me. Say to them, the portion you give is the portion you will receive. To receive all, you must give all. That's God's word. God said that to me to tell you. And this is the first time in my life that he has done this. That's how come I know it's him. Because I know the enemy, and the enemy is not going to have me come here and say this to you. I have to tell you, and I have to use my daughter as an example. And she didn't know I was going to say this. I didn't know I was going to say this. But God called her, and I know her story. I know how she came to know me and how she came to an interview and didn't even know I existed. But the night before, she had a dream. And her dream was about a bunch of children who no one cared for and nobody was taken care of. And she asked if she could go in and teach those children about Jesus. And the person said, yes. Nobody cares about them anyway. And she sat with me in my room, in my office. She sat there across from me at the desk. And there was another person there who spoke Thai and English, her friend, and she had to interpret for me and for Katie. Katie didn't know English. She'd never spoke English before, but you just heard her. God did that. I'll tell you why. Because she's doing what he created her to do. She has nothing that she needs because she's doing what God created her to do. She has no lack because she's doing what God created. Are you doing what God created you to do? That's the message today. Because I've known you people for a long time. Some of you. I knew the kids when you were really little kids. The thing that I'm saying to you with this heavy heart that I have has nothing to do with your salvation. It has absolutely nothing to do. I'm sure you're all going to heaven. As long as you keep, you know, worshiping God and trusting and believing in Jesus. That's not all that we are to do. There is a purpose for each of our life to fit properly into the body of Christ. that will encourage and grow and strengthen. We have weak bodies because the people are not doing what God created them to do. It's not about finding the best job and making the most money. It's never been about that. I tell you the truth, when I came to Thailand, I was told by some really high up officials in the church that I was responsible now to raise the money for the ministry. And so that's what I did. My first year and a half, nearly 2 years, man, I booked churches. I would come to Singapore. I would stay here for a month. And I would have, I tell you the truth, I would have 15 meetings in a month in Singapore. Then I would go to Malaysia and have another 15 meetings. And then I would go back to Thailand. And God said to me, "My son, what are you doing? I never, ever sent you out to be a fundraiser. I sent you out to be a soul winner and a disciple maker. I guarantee, I quit, immediately I quit booking churches to raise money. I quit it." Right now, by the grace of God, according to His purposes, our ministry is doing great. We're doing great. We have all the finances and everything we need. Everything we need. That truck came from somebody in this church. The sidewalk truck that you saw up there. I prayed for that truck for 20 years, and Katie prayed for 10. And we got that truck. Because we're doing what God sent us out to do, what He created us for. What are you created for? What is it that God wants you to do? Let me tell you. I know what each and every one of you are supposed to be doing each and every day. I know it. Because I do it. And I do it because it pleases God and it really strengthens my relationship with Him. And it'll do the same for you. But you have to put God first. You think you do. But really what you do is fit Him in. Because you're so busy. So busy making money, paying bills, taking care of kids. You're so busy. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. I'm saying you should do those things putting God first. You need to be asking God what He wants you to do. Instead of telling God what you're going to do and ask Him to bless it. Do you understand the difference between the two things? Every time I come here, just about every time, this is the response I get. It's quiet. It's some heads down and some eyes are on me. And that's okay. I'm here to tell you what God wants you to know. I'm not here to tell you what He wants you to do. You have to figure that out with Him. But I'll tell you what He wants you to do to get to that point. And that's to put Him first. In every part of your life, God needs to be first. And that's what the Word says. There's more. Somebody's got to do what God wants them to do, no matter what it is. Now, I reckon that God sent me here today to stand up and not sit down and not turn my back. So I'm standing up. If you've got a problem with me, then you've got a problem with God first. because I'm just doing what he sent me to do. Giving with a joyful heart that is pleasing to the Lord our God. If you break down the Bible into two words, two main words, main theme words, you're going to find that the first one is Jesus. And the second one is giving. For God so loved the world, he gave. Kind of hard to argue with the word, isn't it? When you know it's the truth. You see, God gave first. He loved us first. And he called us by our name for him, because we were created by him, for him, according to Colossians. Okay? So, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. See, I love to give. There's probably not another thing I love doing more than giving. I love to give. Whatever I can give, as much as I can give, I love to give. But when we give, God gives back. We don't give to get. We give to please God. We obey God by giving. Give and you will receive. This is Luke 6:38. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more. You don't give once. It is a process of a lifetime of giving. This sets us up in heaven for the reward. You can believe in Christ and you can live your life for yourself, putting God second, and probably still make it to heaven. But when you get there, God's going to judge you and he's going to determine what reward you are to get or not get. And God alone does that. But he has a predetermined reward for each of us. Now, according to my understanding of his word, that can be less that we actually get than what he had recorded for us to receive. So we can receive less according to the way we live. Give and you will receive. Okay, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's what the Word of God says in the NLT. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get it back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. When you're hearing these words, I'm not just saying the word of God, okay? This is real. This is God said this to us. This is not Chuck said this to you. This God says this to us. It's in my Bible. It's in your Bible. We have the same God. We have the same Bible. We have the same word. But when we read that, it's just words. And it needs to be a living word. God said it. He put it out there. You know how Jesus got here? God spoke him. You know how the world got here? God spoke it. You know how everything in the world got here? God spoke it. Or he gave the idea to a man, and the man developed it, but it came from God. Understand, please, everything comes from God. Everything. Even the devils. They determined that they wanted to go against God. They'll never see heaven for eternity. They will see the pit for eternity. That's not where I want you to be. That's not where God wants you to be. And God wants you to have everything in heaven, but you alone can determine what you receive in heaven by the way you live here on earth. It turned on me. Did I ever do that to you? If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. Love your enemies. I didn't say that. I mean, I said that, but I mean, God said that. That's God's word. Love your enemies. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what God says. You determine what you're going to do. That way, when I go back to Thailand, I can openly say to God, I told him what you wanted me to say. They've heard it. That way, when you get to heaven and God is judging you according to find out what reward you're going to receive, you can't look at me and say, why didn't you tell me? I told you. Amen? Amen. Please don't ever hang your misfortune on earth on someone else. You did it to yourself. Do good to them, that is your enemies. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Oh, that's a concept for us, isn't it? Lend without expecting anything in return. Who does that? I do. That's why I'm here telling you this stuff. Because I do what God's word says. I live this way. That's why I have not a need, but I love your love. I need your love. I want your love. Because that encourages me to love my God. And I hope it is reciprocated, you know. I love y'all. There's a little English twang in that from America, but that's okay. You get it. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. I didn't say that, but are you? Are you living this way? Are you doing what you're hearing me say right out of the word? Because if you are, you got no problem. If you're not, don't expect to get everything God has for you in heaven. There's no guarantee on us receiving everything unless we're living the way God wants us to live. Yeah. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. God is. Are you? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe not. Maybe not. Come back up. Is that right? One more thing. And this is a little bit long. Bear with me. Bear with the word. Mark 12:29-33. It's the word of God. Chuck didn't write it. I'm not up here preaching. I'm up here telling you what God says in his word. You got a problem with that? Take it up with God. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord." Not money, not a job, not a house, not a car. God, the Lord, is the one and only. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart. I'm going to repeat that first part because it goes with the other three things. You must love the Lord your God with all all, not some, all of your soul. That's your mind, the way, what you think, what you allow coming into your mind and ponder upon. You must love the Lord your God with all of your mind. You must love the Lord your God with all, I love saying that word, all of your strength. You wonder how people who are old and broken and diseased and everything, how can they keep on going on? It's by the grace of God, because they're doing what God created them to do. The world cannot determine what you do if you're doing what God called you to do. God has already predetermined that. It says here, the second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first thing I want to ask us all here is, do we love ourselves? Because if we don't love ourselves, it's going to be kind of hard to love our neighbor the way God wants us to. Amen? Amen. I should hear a resounding amen coming from y'all. Amen. We need to love ourselves. And we cannot love ourselves if God is not the center of ourself. Because he's first. The first part is love the Lord your God. The second part is love yourself. But we need to love ourselves the way we love our God. That way we can love others. But first we need to love God. First we need to love, I'll say it again. First we need to love God. Not our way, his way. Amen? According to his word. So when we pick up our Bibles and we read out of our Bibles, we need to take that in like it's God telling us, because it's like God's telling us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. No other commandment is greater than these. The teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all of my heart and all of my understanding and all of my strength. And I too love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." I tell you the truth. When we give, we first must give ourselves. If not, we got things out of whack already. Totally out of order. We have to decide to give all of ourselves to God. Enough of this partial thing. And God, I'll spend time with you tonight if I have the time. God, I'll see you in the morning. Hey, he's not looking at you like he doesn't love you anymore. He loves you. He loves us all more than we can know. But how are we going to respond to his love? What is it that we're going to give him? Because he gave his only begotten son for us. Our sins already taken care of. When Jesus died on the cross, we were free of sin. but how are we living our life in response to that love? Are we living in a way that sets us in line with God's purpose in our life? Or are we still going to walk out of here today and tomorrow we're going to tell God, well, you know, God, I want to do this, so I'm going to do this and I want you to bless it because I'm doing it for you, Lord. No mas. Don't do that anymore. Ask God. Talk to him. He's waiting to hear from you. And he will talk back to you. He will speak right to your heart because his spirit lives there. So please, put God first. Give your whole self to God. And then step back and watch what he does. Because he'll blow you away. He will blow you away. I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in a good way. Okay. So who here? Because I got to give you the challenge. I don't want to walk out of here without challenging anybody. I'm not up here just to hear myself talk. Okay. How many here want to give God wholly their self? Completely their self. Good. I see a few hands. That's good. That's a good thing. Praise God. Put your hands down. God saw your hands. I do this with the kids all the time. I'll stand in front of the kids and I'll say, who's taller, me or you? And they go, oh, I turn Chuck, you're taller. And I'll say, right. And who's taller, me or God? Oh, God is taller. Then if I can see everything, boys and girls, you think God can't? He even looks into your heart. He knows your thoughts. So what can you hide from him? If you say tonight, I want to change the way I'm living for God and I want to give my whole self to him, and I raised my hand, and then you walk out of here and you live tomorrow like you did today. You think God doesn't know that? Do you really think that God doesn't see your heart? Do you really think that God is going to say, oh, thank you for staying the same? No. So, that's why I'm going to ask you one more time. And be honest with yourself and with the Lord. Who here wants to give their whole self to God first? Raise your hand. That's everybody. Thank you. Put your hands down. Well, almost everybody. You know, I think you might have a different body of people to speak to next Sunday, or Saturday, sorry. I really do. I think the game has changed and the team is coming together. You guys are great and you need to know that you're great and you need to have people that are loving you to tell you how great you are. But you can always do better. You can always do better. Not for Pastor Gerald or Cindy, but for God. Because we're here for him. We're led by others, but we're here for God. You're here. And you're here for God. And it's not an accident that you're here. He has called you. He has chosen you. You need to separate yourself for him. And you can't do that by playing along with the game. You have to be separate. You have to be who you say you want to be for God. And so I cheer you and applaud you. Praise God. Praise God. God bless these people. Bless each and every one of them, Lord God, because they have chosen you over the world. They have chosen you over a paycheck. They have chosen you over their children. They have chosen you first, Lord God. And everything else will be fine when they put you first. We give you the glory of this day and this night, Lord God, and we thank you for your love, no matter how we are. Lord, bless us. Bless us all. In Jesus' name.